Marianne, thanks again for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
So today we saw a number of bills moving forward, and among them, some clean air bills. What did we see addressed?
We finally saw a few clean air bills starting to move a little bit more. It's always funny, as someone who watches this very closely, when the inversion leaves, the conversation about clean air leaves as well.
Right.
So it's encouraging that on a gorgeous day like we've had, that we're still actually talking about clean air and the need for it. Committee bills, we had a couple different committee bills that were passed. We had a clean burning renewable fuels bill by Johnny Anderson. And this actually is something, encourages the disposal of oils from manufacturing and industrial uses for the creation of biodiesel use.
Okay.
So there's, sort of a tax incentive there.
So if you have your French fry oil that's going to be thrown away, you can...
Right, exactly. Exactly. There will be some organization or some business that then can take that and turn that into a usable biodiesel fuel.
Interesting.
Another one was renewable energy tax credits. And this is along the same lines. It's tax credit for renewable energy improvements to your home. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you put solar panels on your roof, or you do double pane windows, things like that, or for businesses, things that actually show a significant energy savings in a home or a business.
You can get a tax credit for it. Does that bill list the amount of the incentive that a person would get?
Yeah, and it's not a lot. I mean, I think it was a couple of $1,000s. I mean, it's still an incentive, and in terms of the investment that you make, sometimes these things can be quite expensive. They're typically more expensive than not doing a clean energy version of the same thing.
Right.
So the idea is to incent purchasing things that are going to help our environment. And, that money still also goes back into the economy because you're buying the product in the first place.
And if you're considering it and it's too expensive, you might not do it, but now you have this this tax incentive.
Exactly. And then on the floor, so the House started seeing a few bills. Energy efficient tax credit. This is the tax credit that's been talked about quite a bit this session that would give you a credit for the purchase of an energy efficient vehicle or for a conversion kit to have an existing car converted. So you can get that CNG conversion, compressed natural gas conversion. So that would give you a tax credit. Again, it's not a huge amount. But, it's something that if you're already looking at it and you're weighing the prices and you're thinking, this is a little bit more to buy a hybrid, but I will get a tax credit and it is good for the environment. It's just, it incents the behavior.
And we're bound to see more of these clean air bills coming up in the next couple of days. I mean, we only have, a week and a half left?
Yeah, we're running out of time. March 13th, midnight, is the closing bell. So, things have got to come out if they're going to get them.
Interesting. So, we'll have to keep an eye on those environment-related bills. You have also been following some election, or let's call them good government bills.
Yeah, I always call them kind of good government because they cover so many different ways of good government, whether it's disclosure or, public participation in the process. Public meetings amendments is one by Senator Karen Main. And this is one that I had a particular interest in because as we've mentioned before on here, we followed the PRADA, or the Prison Relocation and Development Authority Board, very closely. And it has sitting legislators. It has a senator and two representatives that are on a member of that board, but try to find information about it online.
Mm.
It's next to impossible. There is a website, and I have the link, and I have it bookmarked, because if you search, you won't find it. And it's not an intent. I don't think there's any intention on their part to hide it. It's just somehow doesn't come up in the public searches. And, there's an awful lot of things ahead of it in the Prada search, I would imagine.
Right. Yeah. The search engine optimization tends to favor the giant company.
Yeah. Yes. And somehow, it's looking at fancy bags, not things about prison. But this would actually require that when you have an elected official sitting on a committee, that those meetings are made public, that they're listed on a calendar and something that where you can find them. Mm. So this would be a great thing because this is, as the public wants to get more involved, they need to be able to know where to get involved. And so that's a great step in that. And then also we had a couple voting bills. There's a voting records amendment. This is one we've mentioned in the past. There are a couple of bills actually related to this. And this one is by Representative Becky Edwards of North Salt Lake. It would eliminate the birth date. So right now, if I looked you up on the voter record, I would have your name, your address, your birth date, every time you've ever voted, a phone number, really a lot of identifying information.
And party affiliation, I think.
Yes, right. Yes. Right. And there's a lot of concern over now that we have such a heightened awareness of identity theft and things like that. There's a concern that perhaps we're divulging a little bit too much information. Now, granted, this information isn't just normally publicly available, but if you purchase it, you can purchase it from the government. I could walk up and I could go to the governor's office and I could purchase, or the lieutenant governor's office. I could purchase this list for, I think it's $1,050.
Which is exactly what somebody did, and then they published all of this on a website.
Exactly. Right. And that's what brought this to a head. So because of that, all of a sudden people are realizing, hey, wait a second, I didn't know that was even public. So this bill is a move to try to at least allay those fears of people. They're going to eliminate the birth date because it's not something that typically even like a political party or anyone who might be using that, because there's enough other identifying information that they would require that. Mm. And then the other thing is there's actually going to be a checkbox now on all new registrations, and you have the option to check a box and choose to have your information kept private. And there'll also be a way where you could, if you're an existing registered voter, for you to go in and actually request that. But this is a move that there were some people who were pushing initially for it to just be opt-in and said, no, you know, there's still uses for this. Candidates use it. A couple of representatives stood up and said, you know, this was really helpful. I was a very low-funded candidate. I was just basically doing this kind of out of my garage. And this helped me at least narrow down who it was that I needed to try to reach to vote.
Well, and I wonder also if there's any issues of, you know, sort of transparency in voting when this information is kept entirely private.
Absolutely. And that was a concern. So having an opt out, which means, you know, I'm going to have to make a conscious decision that I don't want my information private, or that I don't want it public, rather, at least gives that option with still making it essentially a public record. And then one other one, Senator Jenkins' voter registration amendments. This is a good one. This passed the Senate, and so now it'll be going to the House. You can now register. It used to be 30-day cutoff. Now you can register 15 days prior to Election Day, either online or in person, and you can participate in early voting. You can register 7 days prior to Election Day, either in person or online, for Election Day voting.
Okay, so just 1 week out, you can go and register.
So that's a great move. I mean, I'd love to see same-day registration. I mean, that's really where a lot of the, you know, some of the country is moving. And I think that we will eventually get there. But this is a good interim way. It's a way for clerks to figure out if it's going to work, you know, what problems they might foresee in this, and if there's a larger number of people that are registering in that narrow window. But it's a great move. It opens it up for a lot more people who just may not be thinking that far ahead. I mean, you know, that's kind of an old school way of doing this, you know, that you register and you plan to go and you vote in person. Now with vote by mail and absentee ballots and all of this is just another step in opening up public participation.
Increasing public participation in the process.
Exactly. And we certainly can use a greater voter turnout.
This is kind of off topic, but today we saw the passage of a drowsy driver awareness bill.
SB 149, Drowsy Driver Awareness by Senator Osmond in the Senate. It passed, and this would establish the third week of August as Drowsy Driver Awareness Week.
Tongue twister.
Yeah, it is. As you can imagine, there were a lot of pretty funny comments on the floor about this, and, you know, people saying, "Oh, I wasn't paying attention. I was dozing off." but it really doesn't do anything. It doesn't enact any law. There's no, like, you know, enhanced penalty if you're caught driving while drowsy. I mean, I don't even know.
This week.
Yeah, exactly. But it does provide a week where the funds, there's already funds that are allocated for public awareness campaigns, you know, PSAs that they do, that focus on maybe a particular thing. Like, you've seen some of the 911 ones and different things. So this, during this week, they would focus some of that, those funds and some of that public awareness campaign specifically on being aware when you're driving drowsy. So it's really just a public service type of a bill.
Interesting. But it saw some amateur comedians at the legislature.
Oh, always.
Well, Marianne Martindale, thanks for keeping us updated again on all of these issues.
Thank you.
This has been our Better Utah Legislative Recap with Marianne Martindale, Executive Director of the nonprofit Good Government Group, Alliance for a Better Utah.